morning. Welcome to the roundtable panel for this Monday, the 19th of September. It is very nice to have you with us. We have a lot to talk about, a very busy news weekend, so let's get right to it. We introduce our panel this morning, WAMC's Alan Chartok. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joseph.
Director of the Journalism Program at UAlbany, Rosemary Armeo. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning, Joe.
And political consultant Libby Post. Good morning, Libby.
Good morning.
Very nice to have you with us. A very resigned good morning.
Good morning.
That's fine.
I'm just a little tired.
Well, so this story started to break Saturday night. It was a bomb, a device. There's a lot about the language here. A device, a bomb, a something went off in a dumpster in Manhattan. And then there were all these. They found a second device, and then there were earlier in the day they found devices. One that had a problem, but only went off partially in New Jersey during a race, and then this morning they found five pipe bombs were found in Elizabeth, New Jersey. So as of right now, 9:13 on this Monday morning, the police are searching for a man by the name of Ahmad Khan Rahmani, 28 years old. He is wanted in connection with the bombing in Manhattan on Saturday night. This individual could be armed and dangerous, according to Mayor Bill de Blasio of New York. Now, there are many aspects to the story, and I want to get to a few of them. Of course, there is the actual story. And then I want to talk a little bit about the language that was used very early from the mayor of New York City. And then let's talk in what appeared to be kind of a little bit of a tiff between the governor and the mayor.
Change.
What
else is new?
Which also seemed to be unfortunate, given that, you know, hopefully all parties will work together and try to solve the problem at large. Anyway. So wanted alert is sent to cell phones. More bombs are found. That is where I leave you. Who would like to begin?
That bomb in New York was right across from my son's apartment building, and I'm so grateful that he was out of town. It brought it home. Why, Chelsea? I know. There's lots of people. It's a gay neighborhood.
That's
perhaps
right.
That had something to do with it.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah, but then there have been bombs found all over the ones found in a New Jersey train station. It looks like something that was concerted. I was on Bill de Blasio's side in his spat with the governor. But none of this is good for the election. It all helps Donald Trump. It seems to support. Let's be more careful about immigrants, which
could
I hate.
Could you go a little further, Rosemary, into what the sides were with the governor from de Blasio?
It's a war of words over whether to say that it was terrorism or just an act of aggression and homicide, an
international
intentional act.
Terrorism.
Yeah, whether it's tied into ISIS, basically. And that's very difficult to determine because ISIS has encouraged lone wolves to go off on their own. So how do you say that's connected to anything they've planned?
And just to clarify for a moment, there are so many aspects of the story, there was an incident in a shopping mall in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Minnesota.
And
knife.
In which ISIS did take responsibility for that as an ISIS soldier. We should note that as of right now and as of this morning, there has been silence on the part of ISIS as to taking responsibility for this particular whatever it is, whether it's three, four, five separate incidents, or if it's all together. Now, I think most of us who are watching the coverage over the last two or three days can't watch it and not think that they are somehow related.
How
given
can they
the,
not be
given the quote, given the close proximity.
Right.
Although, with that said, there was a great disparity
in the methods
and the way they were used. One was a pressure cooker, another was
a pipe
bomb, another. You know, there's a lot of differences there between what was used. And this particular case in Elizabeth, New Jersey, where the search is going for this morning, seems to be specifically for the bomb that actually went off on Saturday night around 8:30.
Mm-hmm. I got beat up this morning because I said in an earlier time, this would help Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I think and you're right, don't you?
Well, I do. That's why I said it. And I got beat up and say, how dare you say that? It will only help Trump. Hey, that's not my job. My job is to be here to take a look at the situation as it is and sort of bring to bear the 50 years or so that I've been doing this and to say, you know, this is what I think is going to happen here. It's unfortunate. It's terrible. But it is clear that this will help. That makes me think, okay, so why the uptick in this stuff all of a sudden? Is this something that ISIS thinks, well, the more they do now, the more attention mm-hmm. that they'll get, you know, or would they rather see Trump president?
Well, I think their strategy has always been around destabilizing the West, no matter what it is that they do. It's to make people fear, and fear will lead to that kind of destabilization and the desire for a strong man who talks about being very, very strong and right. We're going to get them and blah, 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 blah. You know, no one's talking about the fact that the Obama administration has taken out more ISIS leaders than anybody else. Mm-hmm. Not that there's anybody else, but he's taken out a lot of those folks. And so I think, you know, I think we will probably see ISIS or some group take responsibility for this. Why not? What do they have to lose? It just adds to their persona. But I do think that their strategy has always been to destabilize the West, and helping Donald Trump get elected will definitely go to their goal of destabilizing the West.
And yet so many people, Libby, who
they don't get it,
are going to vote in this election.
Right. Because they really don't understand.
Tough guy Trump is the way to go.
Right. Right.
I just heard from John, who writes this sometimes, mostly I don't agree with him, and who said as long as the West is in, you know, Middle Eastern places, ISIS will be doing this nonsense.
They'll be doing it regardless.
ISIS will be doing it no matter what.
Right. They'll be doing this regardless.
When it comes to the investigation, and Rosemary, I'm hoping you can at least start us off on this, of Mayor de Blasio came out and said, look, this does not seem to be international in nature. This seems to be it does not seem to be connected to the bombing earlier today, mm-hmm. Meaning Saturday in New Jersey along a route for a 5K race. And also there was a second device, and they really didn't say whether those two were connected because that information had come in right before the mm-hmm. original press conference. And he did say it was an intentional act, but not not linked to terrorism. Then just 12 hours later, the governor of New York came out and said, well, there was terrorist, but did not necessarily mean that it was international terrorism, and now is saying that very well could be international terrorism.
Well, yes, and it's very bothersome to think that we are really just parsing this in such a way that if it's a homegrown person who's doing these awful things, and they are of Arabic background, that somehow that's not international. Right? I mean,
so can I just start
well, no,
with
that's no, not true. That's not true. The no, guy in Minnesota was a Somali.
And San Bernardino.
Yeah, they were Americans. Yeah, right.
But I'm saying if ISIS has put out the call and said, everybody go blow up everything you can and do all of that stuff, that's internationally inspired, even if the person who's doing it is not doing it specifically to say, okay, get out of your sleeper cell and go do this.
Now, again, without the clarification or with the clarification that there has been no connection in these cases yet to ISIS, we do look at what the mayor originally said with a brand new police chief at his side.
I know. You got to feel sorry for that guy.
10 hours old.
Day 2 on the job, yeah. And he's dealing
with
day
1 on the job. Bratton went out Friday and he went in on Saturday.
True.
So
who is the new guy?
The new guy is...
O'Connor?
Oh, he's the number, he was the number two or something like that. Yeah. Right?
And look, I mean, he's certainly been around, has been around for a very long time as far as knowing what is going on and how to handle these situations. But the question that kept on being asked was, at least on the cable news networks, and I was going back and forth between all of them on Friday night or on Saturday night, was, well, if you had any doubt, that it was connected, or that it was some sort of international terrorism, because they made it sound as if they had video, they kind of knew what they were doing, and they just couldn't go into it in complete detail because it was still very early on in the investigation. And in that case, that's what they said. That's why they said what they said. And then it turns out, well, they really didn't have as much video footage as they thought they had. So my question is how do you get into that situation? Because it seems like you just walk into it.
I don't know.
How do you avoid that?
The whole dispute to me just pointed out how difficult it is to talk about these incidences. I at first admired that de Blasio was trying to keep it very low-key.
You know, to say,
look, this is a crime. We're going to deal with
that. Let's not
we don't have to
hysteria.
Worry.
Right.
Well,
and give it calm in the city.
Exactly. And then later, as more information comes in, as more incidents are unveiled, it seemed like Cuomo was making sense, too. So I don't see it as quite the dispute that has been
pressed.
But how absurd is it that, like, if we have a workplace shooting right now, we're kind of relieved if it's only a disgruntled worker. You know, if it's, just a mentally ill guy's kind of disturbed because he got fired. Yeah, yay, we're safe. It's crazy.
So, but here's what bothers me about what you've just said, Rosemary. I mean, I agree with you. But is Cuomo sitting around his desk with a black plume of smoke coming out of his head, looking for every opportunity to embarrass the mayor? That is, in other words, what's the motivation? What is the motivation for doing this? We certainly have seen plenty of it in recent times.
I do think he kind of enjoys digging de Blasio. I have to admit.
Well, kind of enjoys is almost benevolent.
So the two went to the site together, although they held separate press events.
Yeah.
Cuomo held one earlier in the morning. De Blasio held one later in the afternoon. James O'Neill, by the way, is the name of police commissioner.
Oh, something.
Yes. Irish.
Right, I know.
So,
police commissioner.
So, but yes, I mean, this is far from the days of 9/11 when all of the congressional, Senate, the governor, the mayor, everybody got together and worked together on these things. I'm not saying that this is to the level of that, of course. However, you did get a sense that there were a lot of different people going in a lot of different directions.
Well, I mean, I'd like to hope that everybody who comments on this, every public official who gets in on this, is doing it for the right reasons as opposed to for the political reasons.
Okay, so the obvious question then is, did you get that sense on Sunday and Monday?
No, I did not. I agree with Rosemary. I think de Blasio, expressing appropriate caution, said, let's find out. In comes the governor and yells at the top of his voice, it's terrorism, basically. So, and it waits a while before he does that. If that's motivated by, you know, anger at the mayor, which apparently he has. I remember when the governor got elected and he tried to take with him the attorney general's powers that he had when he was attorney general.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there was quite a spate there. And to his credit, the present AG, almost governor, said that Eric Schneiderman said that, you know, he was not going to give up those powers, and he didn't. So then the governor leaves him alone. Now he's after Tom DiNapoli again. Terrible. You know, this guy has to learn how to play better in the sandbox.
Especially when we're talking about an incident that is troubling and concerning. The most amazing thing about this to me is that at a time when the better part of the city is out on the street,
right,
on a Saturday night,
right,
that 29 people were injured and 29 people were released by Sunday morning. 12 hours later, they had all been released from the hospital.
We're very lucky these were apparently incompetent bomb makers. Thank God. Yeah.
Right. I mean, the other one didn't go off.
Exactly.
The pipe bombs didn't go off.
It was so in that case, we are looking at a situation where no human life was taken. Mm-hmm. And of course,
even in Minnesota, the same thing, the mall outside of Minneapolis, right, there were injuries, but no deaths.
You know, but this might just ratchet it up, the fact that they didn't.
Yeah, it's almost like a practice run or something. God, that's awful.
It's terrible. We really can't take any comfort out of the fact
that nobody
died. Because they certainly could have died.
Right. This is, you know,
one of those ball bearings goes into your eye or into your head or, you know, it's terrible.
I mean, you know, Tim Kaine was on saying we can't accept this as the new normal. And I agree, we can't accept this as our new normal. Unfortunately, it has sort of become the new normal, along with gun violence in this country and other types of violence.
Now, as I ran in here, Libby and Rosemary and Joe, I saw something online about a person of interest had been identified here, and that they were after this, quote, person of interest.
28-year-old Ahmad Khan Rahmani.
Yeah.
I want you to know where all the video came from.
It looked like there was a video inside the vestibule.
Like a security camera headed out.
Everybody's got a camera. You don't want to do
it. I don't think it's from people. I mean,
what do you mean the video? Why? Which video you're talking about?
They have an actual video of the bomb going off. The one in Chelsea.
And I think that was in
glass doors.
Yes,
I think it was
that
inside
was the one.
Those glass doors. That's a
hotel.
Section 8 housing building that was under rehab.
Mm-hmm. You know,
and that's why the dumpster was outside,
which blew across the street, and mangled the metal. The pictures that you saw of the people who were injured had small fragments of I say small. I would have, by the time if I had gotten hit, my one would have said it was the size of a television set. But it was relatively small pieces of metal into their arms and legs and so forth, and bleeding, but it is it's still a miracle, really, that more people were not hurt, especially at that time of day. Cabs were running down the street, blew their windows right out, so obviously powerful.
Well, people said they thought it was like a hurricane or a tornado or some earthquake kind of noise. It was
a
massive.
Friend who lives on 30th Street that's seven blocks away. Was saying it was the loudest noise that they had ever heard, but they thought it was construction because there's a lot of building going on.
All I know is that Roselle and I went to see Snowden.
Oh yeah,
fabulous, just fabulous. And you don't have to buy it all, but I'll tell you, I did. And what is so clear, if any of this is to be believed, is that they can zero in on a camera anywhere in the world. They have, there is this ability to just sort of do all of this remarkable stuff. You don't want to fool around outside the Shartok's house because we do have
cameras.
Cameras, yeah.
Did you see that the Washington Post has called for not clemency for Snowden, even though he was one of their sources? Very unusual editorial.
Well, let's get we'll get into all of that. We're going to take a break. We have letters as well, a lot of letters. We'll do that too. Alan and Rosemary and Libby are all here. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org, and we'll continue after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Nice to have you with us as always. Roundtable at WAMC.org is where you can send your letters to us, and we'll get to those in just a second. A reminder that Alan Shartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post make up the panel this morning. We've been talking about the events of the weekend in New York and New Jersey and even in Minnesota, and we have a lot of letters, and we go to those now.
Thank you, Joe. Hello, panel. It's from Allison. It seems to me that the best explanation for Andrew Cuomo's continual denigration of both Bill de Blasio and Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli is that if either of these two do a good job and become favorites of the public, they might have support to successfully challenge Cuomo as governor. So even though they are nominally all on the same side, Democrats, Cuomo hamstrings and humiliates them early and often. Well, it's possible. I just think that's the way the guy is. I just think that's who he is. I think he's probably, as I've mentioned a thousand times, what Freud said about character not changing since you were 4 years old. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's changed. Lisa says, we never learn. Our imperialistic interventionist policies encourage terrorism. Thankfully, no one was killed here over the weekend. Alternatively, our military killed 60 Syrian soldiers over the weekend. We say it was a mistake. That doesn't change the fact that 60 lives were lost. Neither Hillary Clinton nor Donald Trump will help this. John said, Reed, de Blasio today. I went to the U.S. Open a few weeks ago, the first night, and Mayor de Blasio opened the ceremony. I was taken aback when he was roundly booed by the crowd. I asked a friend who lives in New York City what that was all about, and he said, oh, we all hate him. And being a tennis crowd in New York City, one would have expected a fairly liberal crowd. Maybe Cuomo is distancing himself from an unpopular mayor. I suspect that is not, first of all, I know that it is a tradition in New York that when the mayor comes out in a ball field or anywhere, you boo him. Everybody is on. They've always gotten booed.
The president got booed at the football game. Right.
I also, it's some affection, but I also know that this is that they have been that Cuomo is reported that have been looking for somebody to run against de Blasio for mayor. And they can't find anybody. And you know the reason they can't find anybody? Because when they poll, none of the other guys will outpoll de Blasio. So people hate him, all right. I think there are a lot of people who don't like him. And I think he's made a number of mistakes. Nevertheless, he's going to be mayor unless they can come up with another Bloomberg.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. They have to find somebody like that.
And I don't think they can. Okay, so... Oh, boy. All right, guys, enough bloviating. You've started to make stuff up.
Bloviating?
That's nice.
How do we bloviate?
Come on. You know, he gets a little tension that way. Michael says, anyone know how McCain and Romney are doing against Obama at this point? All these attacks are campaign ads for Trump.
As of this point, September 8th, well, let's say the 18th. Is that close enough to a year? It's the 19th today. I have the 18th. It was Romney 46%. I'm sorry, Obama 46%, Romney 43%.
James takes me to task and says, Chelsea bombing. Thank you, Alan, for irrelevantly changing the topic once again. The bombing and potential loss of lives is more important than what movie you saw this weekend. Snowden is important, but not pertinent with respect. I think the point...
I think it was pertinent.
Yeah, we like that.
You were talking about the idea of...
Television
cameras
everywhere.
The cameras have made perfect sense. So but...
I have friends writing and saying, we mentioned this, but they're picking up on the idea that this could have been... a practice run, especially if it's organized, now they get to know exactly how police will respond, what cameras are around. That you really get to see how the police operate.
Except, yes,
that's scary.
What's interesting is that within 24 hours, they've pinpointed a suspect.
Yeah.
They're saying now it's a cell.
Except that they don't really care if they're caught or not. It would seem.
Right. No, I get that, but it just.
I understand your point, but we want it 24 hours ahead.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, so do we, but, you know, that's never good. That goes back to Snowden and our First Amendment rights and our constitutional protections.
Yep.
All right. And
nicely done.
Patrick says, with regards to the bombing, isn't it up to the FBI or Homeland Security to make the official determination of terrorism? Thank you. John says, thank you, Libby and Rosemary, for pointing out that Chelsea... is an historically...
No, I did that one.
What'd you say?
Okay, go ahead.
Historically gay neighborhood. WNC is the only media outlet that I have heard say that the Chelsea neighborhood of New York is also an LGBT neighborhood.
Yeah, well, I wondered why out of all the places in the world I have to pick my son's neighborhood. And that's a very good reason that would make. I also looked for the date. What happened? Why would this historically have been a time that there'd be a coordinated attack? And I can't find that. It's not the anniversary of 9/11.
It was 7 days after.
7 days after.
It was a week. Mm-hmm. It was 9/18.
Yeah. See, those historically, these attacks have come on dates that have some significance.
Mm.
Well, is there a difference in the, I mean, in the Jewish calendar is different because it's, you know, 13 months. Is there a difference? Is there?
Yeah, but they usually relate it to our calendar so that it, it hits us.
Well, so
but,
they make
but
the point.
The guys who do it might not relate it to our calendar.
That's true.
Oh, well. So. Anyway, maybe the liberal haters, the liberal voters hate Cuomo more than de Blasio. Matt from UC, actually, Cuomo has been doing better in the polls than de Blasio has.
I like them both, actually. I wish they would behave better. I like them both.
Do you?
I think New York could use both of them.
Yeah, I see. Okay. Okay, so Michael says, it seems important to me to recall the anarchist bombings that were so common in the 19th and early 20th century. There are many of them, and an anarchist assassin touched off World War One, but in the main, they were more loud sounds than civilization-destroying furies, more an annoyance to society than a genuine threat. Can even 20,000 crazed jihadists, try as they might, do any genuine damage to global civilization? No, I don't think so. All they can achieve is terribly average, is to terrify people who do not understand risk analysis. Well, yeah, as Rosemary said before, if your son is living across the street from the garbage can, you know, it's terrifying. It is, and it should be. And Ron says, good morning, Roundtable. Which would be scarier, multiple attacks across the U.S. with identical devices of multiple incidents with all different methods? I get it. Yeah, okay. So which would be scarier, multiple attacks across the U.S. with identical devices or multiple incidents with all different methods?
I don't want to make that pick. They're both terrifying.
Yes.
Yeah, and look, we have seen weapons of choice. We've seen bombs.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen knives,
We've seen guns.
Regular things that happen.
I mean, when you look at the ISIS propaganda, you know, it's not about what you use to kill. It's just about make sure you do kill.
Brian says, is it possible that Cuomo is motivated by his own presidential ambitions? If Trump is elected, Cuomo can run in 2020. But if Clinton wins, Cuomo can't run in 2020, is unlikely viable in 2024, even if his brand survives that long. And that's from Brian. Panel. The assumption that acts of terrorism before the election will boost Trump rests on the shaky theory that there are still undecideds who will be tilted more towards him by these acts, or Dems who will switch to him out of fear. I haven't seen anything anywhere that backs that idea up. Well, we do see Trump pulling closer to Clinton. And let's just see where that goes. All right. And how about Matt, who says, panel 538 now has the race at 60-40 for Clinton, and Trump is now slightly ahead in Florida and Ohio. Clinton should be running away with this election, but her struggles coupled with the ineptness of her campaign regarding her pneumonia should demonstrate to any rational supporter that she is a terrible campaigner. John says, if you truly believe there's nothing personal about the terror acts on the West, that they should be, that they would be doing this anyway, then I can only sit here and shake my head.
I don't get that.
I don't know
they
whoever
would be doing
said
it
that.
Anyway.
I don't know
despite
said
what.
It.
I don't get that.
Well,
sorry.
People make up what they want. Okay, so Joe, what do you want more?
We're gonna take a break. We'll come back and we'll get to the other subjects. Who's yawning?
No, I wasn't yawning.
Oh, okay. All right.
On the show at all.
We'll be right back after this.
Support comes from Noble Home, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, custom-designed panelized house kits featuring eco-friendly passive and solar design elements, noble-home.net. Myron Wine and Spirits, Kingston, since 1960, a wine and spirit shop with thousands of imported and domestic wines and spirits, and staff for questions and advice, Myron Wine and Spirits on Facebook. Ward's Nursery and Garden Center, Great Barrington, helping gardeners grow autumn color, native red maple, clethra, witch hazel, viburnum, and winterberry. WardsNursery.com. And from Harrington's Lumber, Millwork, and Building Supplies, where you'll find Marvin windows, patio doors, and scenic doors. Marvin windows are made to order to your specifications. We share your passion, Harringtons.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to the panel discussion. Very nice to have you with us. And all right, let's see what we can get, what other things. We do want to get to some other stuff. And that is, we did have an airstrike. We touched on this just momentarily before, but the United States acknowledged on Saturday that its warplanes had carried out an airstrike in Syria that resulted in the deaths of Syrian government troops. American military officials said the pilots in the attack in the eastern province believed that they were targeting the Islamic State. Russia's defense minister said the U.S. attack had killed 62 Syrian troops, wounded 100 more, and opened the way for an Islamic State offensive.
Samantha Power, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, gave an amazing speech. It was really worth listening to on the night it happened, and the Russians go to the U.N. and want to lodge a protest against the United States. And she said, look, we've already said we're investigating it. We did not aim to shoot the Syrian military, which, by the way, I would not be horrified if they did. Maybe we should have been doing that a long time ago. Obama threatened it at one time. But she said, we didn't intend to. We intended to be shooting at ISIS, which may show how close together the military, Syrian military and ISIS is working together. And she said, how come we haven't been called into session by the Russians before now on civilian deaths or on other tragedies that have happened? Why is it just this? And it does not bode well to me for the existing ceasefire. And the poor Syrian people truly, truly need a ceasefire, even if it allows one side or the other to strengthen. They just have been hammered, especially in Aleppo, and it's just a mess. It continues to be a mess.
A senior Obama administration official speaking on the condition of anonymity because the strike was still being investigated said the U.S. had relayed its regrets to the Syrian government through the Russians for the unintentional loss of life of Syrian forces. The Syrian government insisted that the strike was not a mistake. Instead, the government said it was a very serious and flagrant aggression that aided the Islamic State and proved its long-held assertion that the United States supports the jihadist group as part of an effort to oust the President Bashar al-Assad.
You know, yeah, talk to the people who just got bombed on in Chelsea. You know, is this, are we really part of that too? I mean, this is rhetoric extraordinaire.
It isn't the Americans who are helping ISIS. It's the Russians. And they've been working with the Syrian government. And this is what happens in a game like that. You have a whole lot of forces in there in very close quarters. And like I say, I don't know if it was intentional or not, but either way.
we can all remember how often the United States has embarrassed itself by supporting so-called rebels.
Right.
Yes.
Who turned around and then became our worst nightmares.
Well, Bin Laden is a great example.
Yeah, sure.
Let's go to another topic. And in the 8 minutes that we have left or so, one of the stories we haven't talked a lot about politics this morning, but I do want to talk a little bit about Florida. Hillary Clinton has vastly outspent Donald Trump on TV ads in Florida. Her 57 campaign offices dwarf Mr. Trump's afterthought of a ground game. And Mr. Trump is deeply unpopular among Hispanics, who account for nearly one in five Florida voters. Despite these advantages, Mrs. Clinton is struggling in the Sunshine State, unable to assemble the coalition that gave Barack Obama two victories in the state and offering Mr. Trump a broad opening and a road to the White House that not long ago seemed closed to him. Mr. Trump is pressing down hard to win the state, campaigning in Miami on Friday and Fort Myers on Monday after a rally in Pensacola. Recently, recent polls showed that Mrs. Clinton is not earning the same support among Hispanics, young people, or white voters. What is going wrong?
Well, I'm sure that Livia and Rosemary will have something to say about this. But Mrs. Clinton is not nearly as popular at this stage as Barack Obama was. And the reason Barack Obama was so popular is that people liked him more. They saw him as a more positive person who they could project their deal into and who would be an agent of change. They like that. Mrs. Clinton is seen by too many young people as somebody who is part of the old way of doing things, of the establishment. So therefore, she's not popular. Now, with that said, in other words, people don't like her. So here's what
happened. But is he likable? I understand him being an agent of change, but is Donald Trump the guy who is seen as...
No. He's not going to get that vote.
No, and that's why it's so close.
Right. He's not going to get their vote.
But if that
but
vote
he's getting
doesn't...
the white, angry white male vote.
But if that vote, Libby, doesn't come out for
right.
Hillary,
right.
she loses.
Right. They need to turn out. That's what
and
this
I can
about.
Tell you that I have interviewed her. And I sat in a room with her, and she is remarkable. She's a wonderful woman who can really make you feel good about yourself, but she doesn't do that on the stage.
You know, part of it is that everybody loves her when she's doing a job.
Yeah, but her not, rating was, what, 60%
yeah,
approval
right,
when she was Secretary
of State. But when she's running, there's a part there that she just can't flip the switch and be the warm and fuzzy
candidate.
And part of this is sexism. I mean, you
yeah,
know,
we
it's
don't
really
like ambitious
misogyny.
Women. Yeah.
Right, because she's strong. She doesn't smile enough. She's serious when she's talking about these issues. She takes these issues very seriously. We'll see what happens next Monday is the first debate.
Florida's interesting. It's not. I can't imagine the young vote being a big factor in that state. It's the oldest one in the nation.
It's the Hispanic
and it would seem
vote.
To me, yeah, the Hispanic vote is interesting. It seems to me though that her advantage over Trump with money and with organization should play in Florida. That is how Jeb Bush won Florida for his brother.
It was
also, that street level organization right. that went out and turned out the vote for W.
But it was also right.
You're laughing at me.
No, I'm laughing because I think quick aside, but kudos to Jeb Bush
that was
for
excellent.
His
the Emmy
amazing
Emmy
for his amazing Emmy performance last night, where he played an Uber driver to Jimmy Kimmel,
hysterical.
Getting him to the Emmys.
Why couldn't he have been that funny during his campaign? He would have done much better.
You have to wonder, but it was a great moment.
Check it out on YouTube if you haven't seen
it.
Very funny.
Good stuff.
Very funny. Go ahead.
You could be up that hour.
Well, we weren't. I watched it on YouTube.
Oh, sorry about that.
There you go. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know how my elbow was on the...
Yeah, we were catching up on Blind Spot.
Yeah. Well, also good. But it was 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock is when I got to sleep.
All right. Yeah, it wasn't like that.
And speaking of old people, Florida, we were talking about.
Yeah, we were. And thank you for bringing that up.
Right.
And thank you,
the Alta Cocovo.
Thank you for bringing that up again. Because, you know, as much as Jeb Bush did his thing, he wasn't very effective.
Very ineffective.
In this election cycle. Again, because he was the old crowd, you see. I mean, they had enough of the Clintons and they didn't, of the Bushes, and they didn't think there was going to be change as a result of that.
Now, note the difference, though. For Jeb, we say, well, he's establishment, he's part of a dynasty. So is Clinton.
Yeah.
So is Clinton not gotten, but in Clinton, it's in terms of we don't like her.
Right. Well, it's all.
You know, it's so subtle. And I don't want to get the letters from you saying everything is not about sexism. But there's so much about this that is about sexism.
Well, here's the way.
We don't like her? No, we're not.
You're not supposed to. Yes, you're supposed to like them. But it's more about who's more competent, who can handle a world crisis. Well, last night, 60 Minutes had a piece on you know, how pressing the button and the steps one needs to take to press the big red button, you know, to launch codes. And I can only imagine that they're airing these things to raise this issue that who do we want? Who has the temperament to deal with our nuclear arsenal?
Well, I even am suspicious of a new Arnold Schwarzenegger commercial. Have you seen it? It's for a video game.
Yes.
And what happens is you, at the right point, push a button and a giant wall goes up and the enemy planes smash into it. And Schwarzenegger in that voice goes, oh, now that's a wall. I think that's a commercial for Donald Trump. And it's all this macho, you know, go out and stop the enemy people.
Well, I agree with you on one.
We like him.
I agree with you on one point here. And that is, Hillary is in a bad spot. She either has to be tough guy, Indira Gandhi, Maggie Thatcher, you know, she has to play that role. If she doesn't, then other men would not have to do that, would not be forced into that situation. So from that perspective, you're right.
Will you promise me that the entire media project will be about what happened Friday with the media's response to the Trump press conference at the Trump Hotel?
Wow.
That was unbelievable.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment. Joe?
Well, we only have about a minute, but so Trump has a brand new hotel. The old post office in Washington is right next to the Smithsonian institutions, and held a press conference there where he was going to, quote, make a major announcement. He then went on, so all of the cable networks went to him live. And then he just went on this thing about how great the hotel was, took people on a tour of it. Everybody stayed with him. And then at the end, the only news to come out of it was he said that he was born in this, President Obama was born in the U.S., period. Hillary Clinton started the birther controversy. Mm-hmm. I just finished it.
Right. And then no.
And then no comment.
30 seconds. No.
30 seconds and then gone.
Right.
Steve. And John King and CNN said perhaps the best line, great, we were just played.
Yeah.
Right.
He did.
And then the whole thing fell over, which was really visually.
Steve Toomey, investigative reporter, said he has a vision of President Clinton walking down on her inaugural walk past that hotel and raising the presidential middle finger. That was the great image I liked.
And let me just point out to all of you before we have to run that it's a 50-50 election right now. With everything we've said over and over and over again, half the voters say they're going to vote for Trump. I think that's a very important thing to remember.
We'll leave it there. We welcome your letters. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. That was a withering look. WAMC.org. We'll be back after this.